World Cup Talk. Christina here with the storylines that matter most in football today. Messi on the bench is the kind of World Cup detail that tells you a lot more than a normal lineup note. It tells you this tournament has moved into the phase where even the biggest names are being managed as resources, not just celebrated as events. And honestly, that is where today starts for me. Argentina are not dropping Lionel Messi because of panic. Multiple reports, including Reuters and ESPN, pointed instead to a controlled decision from Lionel Scaloni ahead of the group finale. But that is exactly why it matters. When the greatest player of his era becomes a bench decision, even temporarily, you can feel the tournament changing shape. This stops being about entrance music and starts being about energy conservation, risk control, and the confidence a serious team has in its structure around the star. And there is a human side to that. Messi is still the emotional center of Argentina, even when he is not physically in the opening 11. The pressure shifts in that moment to everyone else. If you want to know whether Argentina are truly stable, watch the players who now have to carry the first hour without the safety blanket of Messi solving everything. That is the real test. That matters more than the team sheet. That idea of pressure shifting is also the cleanest way to understand the United States today. Yesterday, the story was the stoppage time punch from Turkey. Today, the story is what that loss actually changed. Several outlets moved quickly from the emotion of the defeat to the shape of the U.S. knockout road, and that is the right move. For North American listeners, the important thing is not to replay the pain. It is to ask whether the U.S. learned the right lesson from it. For me, that is the real issue. A host nation team can survive one bad result. What it cannot survive is confusion about its identity. The U.S. now have a more defined bracket path and a more serious emotional burden. If they were playing with a little freedom before, that freedom is gone. Now every attacking decision feels like a statement about whether this team is brave enough, and every defensive lapse feels bigger because the crowd and the region are invested in what this tournament says about football in North America. That is where the tension actually is. The other story I would not bury today is Cape Verde. BBC and others framed it well. This is history. But it is also disruption. World Cups are supposed to remind us of the giant teams. They also remind us, every so often, that a new nation can walk in and rearrange the emotional geography of the tournament. Cape Verde are that story right now. And the reason it works as a podcast story is that it is not just cute. It has consequences. Advancement scenarios, bracket stress, and the pressure on bigger teams all look different when a so-called outsider stops behaving like an outsider. This is why the World Cup remains better than a status ranking. It is the place where belief becomes a competitive force. That is why this story is bigger than it looks. Then there is Australia, and this is where the tournament gets cruel. Reuters reported the loss of Italiano and Matthew Leckie to injury, and that is not just a squad note. That is a mood change. Knockout football punishes thin depth charts, and it punishes them fast. Leckie, in particular, carries a lot of emotional weight because he represents experience, reliability, and the sense that Australia can keep games alive even when they are not the cleaner side. So when those players disappear, the tactical question and the human question become the same question. Who absorbs that anxiety now? Who runs the game with calm? Who turns a damaged squad into a dangerous one? I think people often talk about injuries too clinically at tournaments. This is not just about missing minutes. It is about missing certainty. That is the real warning sign. Off the pitch, I wanted today's episode to sound different from yesterday's. Yesterday, the question was about fan costs, strain, and logistical pressure. Today, the more interesting turn is that some host cities are finally starting to feel emotionally claimed by the tournament. Reporting around Kansas City in particular leaned into that sense of local skepticism turning into local ownership. I like that storyline because it makes the World Cup feel inhabited by real people instead of operating like a floating corporate object. When a city goes from worrying about disruption to actually enjoying the noise, the crowds, and the temporary identity shift, you can feel the event becoming real. It does not mean every transport problem vanished or every complaint was fake. It means the lived mood is evolving. And for a tournament in North America, that matters. That is how a host region begins to believe in its own World Cup. One more thing before we go. Because star pressure still drives this tournament, whether coaches like it or not. Fresh roundups from Yahoo, ESPN, and others have sharpened the Golden Boot conversation again. Mbappé is there, Dembélé has forced his way harder into the frame, and Messi is still the shadow everyone measures against, even on a day when he may not start. Honestly, that is where this gets interesting. A few days ago, the easy storyline was legacy. Now it is productivity. Who is actually deciding matches right now? Who is turning reputation into output? And who is carrying the emotional expectation of an entire football nation every time the ball reaches the box? Dembélé crashing into that conversation matters because it widens the pressure inside France as well. It is no longer just about Mbappé, the inevitability. It is about whether France may have more than one player capable of tilting the tournament at once. That matters more than the scoreline graphic. So the shape of the day is pretty clear. Argentina are showing you how serious contenders manage power. The United States are living with the emotional cost of a result that changed their path. Cape Verde are giving this World Cup one of its most joyful shocks. Australia are dealing with the brutal bill that tournaments collect from tired squads. And host cities are beginning to sound less like reluctant venues and more like places that know they are inside something memorable. That is what is actually worth your attention today. See you tomorrow.